It was a very busy week in Wisconsin politics, from new ads in the race for governor hitting the airwaves to state assembly Republicans ousting their majority leader over sexual harassment allegations. Plus, a number of important proposed public policy changes are moving through the state legislature. We'll get you up to date in this first half of our state capitol report. And after 7:30, we'll give you an opportunity to talk with the new majority leader of the state assembly. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March the 10th. Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson joins us first with a roundup of the state capitol news, plus a preview of the week to come. We'll welcome your reactions and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So did you forget to spring forward, Sean?
Yeah, I'm officially a cliche now. So glad to join you this morning.
I'm glad that you're with us by phone. Sean, first bring us up to date with what happened with State Representative Bill Cramer, who was the majority leader of the state assembly until last week.
Yeah, he was. It all happened very quickly. I mean, it was Friday before last that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel first reported that there were allegations of sexual harassment against Representative Bill Cramer. By that Saturday, GOP leaders had said that he had lost their trust, and by Tuesday, they called Assembly Republican Caucus, and they voted, and they said it was unanimous to oust him as majority leader. They turned around an hour or so later, took another vote, and named Pat Strakota to take his place. And afterward, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was taking questions about the Cramer move. He said that he hoped that Representative Cramer would resign from office, but he did talk about what might happen if he did not.
Under Walker, unemployment's up.
Oh, that's not it.
So we're looking for Cramer Voss, I think.
Yeah, you know what? It might have been mislabeled for some reason. So we'll have to. Speaker Voss wanted Cramer to resign from his post or the legislature in its overall.
He wanted Cramer to resign from his position, or he didn't say he wanted him to resign. He said he wanted him not to seek re-election.
Okay.
You've got a couple days left when the assembly is going to be in session for the remainder of 2014. So Speaker Voss says there's a good chance that Representative Cramer will be in treatment during that time, since Representative Cramer did check into treatment, unspecified as to what that means. But, there's a lot of talk that because he was intoxicated during one of these incidents, at least according to people who saw it, that may be what the treatment is. And so Speaker Voss says, I just hope he doesn't run for re-election. Democrats, including Democratic Party Chair Mike Tate, said that's not enough, and that Speaker Voss should call on Representative Cramer to resign.
How is that something you have to debate in your head? You know, why isn't it, no, if Bill Cramer runs again, we're going to recruit a decent human being to run against him in a primary.
So Democrats could actually force this issue a little bit if they want to. They can't control the assembly, but they can make people take uncomfortable votes. They could call for his expulsion from the assembly, something along the lines of, what happened with Jeff Wood a few years ago when he had repeat drunk driving arrests, and then the assembly GOP minority at the time called for his censure from the assembly. But assembly Democrats say they're not prepared to take that step, and they weren't personally calling for his resignation last week. It's an issue they still have to talk about.
So tell us, why did the assembly choose Pat Strakota as the new majority leader?
Well, I see a couple things. They nominated two candidates for Majority Leader, Pat Strakota and Mary Williams. Both of them shared a couple key characteristics for them. One being that neither one of them is running for re-election next year. And so, you know, battles for leadership position can get, get pretty personal, pretty tough political, battles going on for those positions because they are the number two position in the assembly. And so Republicans didn't want to deal with that right now on short notice. They wanted to fill this position immediately. And so they went with somebody who wasn't going to be there next year. So whoever got it was just going to fill it out for the remainder of the session. It ended up being Pat Strakota. The other obvious characteristic that Pat Strakota and Mary Williams both share, they are both women. Mm-hmm. And at a time when Republicans are going to be facing charges that they're waging a war against women, and that this incident with Representative Kramer was just one of many, they actually can turn around and say, we nominated and elected the first female majority leader in history to the state assembly. So, I mean, that's likely why you saw nominated who you saw nominated.
Yeah. It help us understand, too, what you say it's the second in command in the state assembly, but what does the majority leader do?
The majority leader, it sounds like a pretty busy job, you know, from the outside. I mean, you're in charge of setting the calendar, what's on there, deciding, you know, who's going to talk on what, mm-hmm. where the votes are. You kind of keep the whole show running when the assembly's in session. And I think, you know, beyond that, it's another voice in the leadership circle when decisions get made on what the assembly's going to do. And so it was kind of widely thought that the reason Representative Kramer was in that position is that he wasn't the chosen candidate of Speaker Voss. And that's actually something Speaker Voss actually said last week, that he didn't support Representative Kramer in the leadership elections. And so you put somebody that's sort of a counterweight to the person in charge there, that was Representative Kramer. So, you know, we'll see if they do that again next session when they elect a majority leader for the long haul. But right now, I think, you know, Pat Strakota is definitely an ally of the Speaker.
Sean, was there any indication in the past that Representative Kramer had engaged in inappropriate behavior? He was accused of groping a woman, accused of verbally saying inappropriate things to another woman. Did anybody report anything like this in the past?
Not the accusations of groping, at least not to the level that you know, the rest of us heard about it. But sexual innuendos, that was out there. When he was elected majority leader, Chris Kapinga, a fellow Waukesha Republican, got up, and Kapinga was supporting the guy that was running against Bill Kramer, Dean Knutson. And Kapinga gave an extremely unusually personal speech against Representative Kramer and said that he had observed him at conferences and other events, and that there was a pattern of behavior with Representative Kramer. He didn't get into exactly what that pattern was, but he said it was habitual. And he went on to say, you know, we can't have sexual innuendos and bad language in the public. It can never happen again. So there was this hint out there a few months ago, and, you know, I think the thought was when Republicans elected Representative Kramer that whatever, you know, whatever he'd done in the past was going to be in the past, that he was in a leadership position for them now. But obviously, they moved quickly to remove him once they found out about these allegations.
Marcia on Facebook says, I would have been more impressed by Strakota's appointment if she weren't about to retire. I feel this is a token appointment meant to shush women. I'll happily eat my words if the next leader, too, is a woman. But, Sean, as we wrap up this issue and move on to another, is this likely to this whole situation with Representative Cramer. Is this likely to have further political ramifications?
I don't know. I mean, it's the type of thing that you could potentially see showing up in campaign literature. You know, we'll have to see how the issue unfolds and how aggressively Democrats want to attack it. You know, at least initially, they you know, Sandy Pasch, a Democratic leader from Milwaukee, was quick to characterize it as another piece of the war on women. But Democrats aren't pushing it too much beyond that at this point. As far as whether they might elect a female majority leader in the future, it's possible. You could have someone like Samantha Kirkman, again, another friend of Speaker Voss, run for majority leader next year. She said she wasn't going to this year, though, and I can imagine there'd be pretty stiff competition next year for the majority leader job.
Well, we will be talking with the new Assembly Majority Leader, Pat Strakota, coming up after 7:30 as our State Capitol report continues. We'll also talk to Sean for the remainder of this half hour about other news in state politics, including new ads in the race for governor. And some of the claims that those ads make about jobs in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about events at the state capitol last week, and we'll also preview the week ahead. So, Sean, we have all the audio that we need during the rest of this segment.
Okay,
let's talk about the new ads in the race for governor, making some dubious claims, you say, about job numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think dubious is the right word here. You've got a few ads out now. Actually, it started out with the Republican Governors Association. It's an extremely well-funded group, gets involved in races nationally on behalf of Republican governors, and it's involved early in Wisconsin. It was followed up by an ad from Mary Burke, and that was answered pretty quickly by an ad by Governor Walker. But we got a couple ads here. We got the full ads, Joy?
No, just the
excerpts here.
Mm-hmm.
So the one ad from the Republican Governors Association that sort of kicked all this thing off, was talking about job statistics. And you knew this was going to come up in the race for governor, but because of the many ways that you can slice employment statistics, you weren't quite sure how. But what Republicans are doing is they are attacking Mary Burke for her time as Commerce Secretary under former Governor Jim Doyle. Only they're attacking her for job losses that occurred in Wisconsin after Burke left office. So here's a little snippet from the RGA ad.
The Doyle-Burke, Wisconsin, 130,000 fewer jobs.
So that 130,000 fewer jobs actually refers to job losses in the second term of Jim Doyle. Mary Burke served parts of both terms, and so, you know, essentially they're giving her all the blame for what happened in the second term, none of the credit for what happened in the first term when the state actually added jobs. So, you know, there you have one ad that's throwing out misleading statistics. Mary Burke followed up with her own foray into the job numbers debate. You know, that you could imagine at some point they would be talking about the governor's jobs promise, the 250,000 jobs that he had said he'd help the state create. Wisconsin's not on pace to be anywhere near that, but they didn't get into that. They got into the unemployment rates, and here's a little snippet of Mary Burke's ad.
Under Walker, unemployment's up. Job prospects are down to 45th in the nation, and the layoffs continue.
Okay, some of that, layoffs continue. You could say that in any state because there are always going to be layoffs, and so they cite a few places where layoffs have occurred. The 45th is an outlook that was given for job prospects going forward last year by a national ranking. So, you know, that's fairly solid. But then you get to that unemployment is up, and that is one job measure where the governor has actually done fairly well. I mean, Wisconsin has lagged other states in job creation It's well behind the governor's goal, but if you look at where the unemployment rate was when he took office to where it is now, it's gone steadily down. So the Burke campaign said that it was actually referring to where the unemployment rate was when Mary Burke was in the Department of Commerce, which was, I think, 4.8. And by that measure, it is up because it's up to 6.2 or 6.3 now percent. But if you look at where it was when Governor Walker came in, what he was handed, it was 7.8%, I think, and it's down to 6.3%. So there's another one that, dubious is the right word here because it's not exactly being straight with people.
Yeah, well, you certainly have to be careful when you're listening to those ads. And I know, Sean, that you'll be fact-checking these ads for us as the campaigns continue. Let's move on to some other issues some bills moving through the state legislature. There was some action last week on this bill this bill tells local communities that they can't have stronger regulations or zoning for frack sand mines?
Yeah, it's a scaled-back version of what was introduced last year by Republican Senator Tom Tiffany. This one, to hear Tiffany describe it, it's just a grandfathering bill. And so that it says that if you're a frack sand mining operation in operation right now and you're operating under local regulations right now, those can't get tougher in the future. You know, so a community can't decide that they're going to increase its regulation of you, and so business can continue. This is something that's supported by the state's growing frack sand industry, including Rich Budinger of Fairmount Minerals. It's a global mining operation, but they have operations here in Wisconsin.
In a proper way, this bill prevents municipalities from changing their minds or the rules in the middle of the game for locally approved, lawfully permitted, and operating businesses.
It's sort of tricky, though, if you look at what the bill says, because you think of a mine being an operation, and you know you think of that being a place where you could go out and look and say there's a sand mine, but that's not the case under this bill. You would just have to register a mineral deposit, you know, basically declare your interest in a mineral deposit to tie a local government's hands. And so that bothered town government leaders from throughout the state, including Bryce Black. He's the Frankfort town chair, and he said the sand mining issue kind of fell out of the sky on his tiny little town, and they've gone all over the place trying to make sure that they do the best things to make sure that their interests and their town's interests are respected as frack sand mining goes forward.
We've tried to follow all that advice about what our local government can do to protect health, safety, and property rights of our citizens. And now we're being told that all the countless hours and thousands of dollars of taxpayer money we put into developing these reasonable, workable regulations were all for naught.
And so you actually had the Towns Association say a week prior to this hearing that they were okay with this bill. They weren't going to register against it. They're just going to stay neutral. Towns Association held a meeting with its members, and the board voted unanimously to oppose it. So with remaining days, you know, fewer and fewer in this legislative session, this is one that might fall by the wayside unless changes are made.
Yeah, Sean, we're running so short on time, I think mm-hmm. we should maybe abbreviate our discussion about the Common Core legislation, which
sure.
had a public hearing last week. And I understand a huge showing of school officials, state school superintendents, and others showed up for this hearing. Can you tell us what's going to happen here?
Well, this is another one of those that you'd be hard-pressed to say it's got the votes of session. In fact, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said it's not going to pass in its current form. Common Core are these academic standards that are being implemented throughout Wisconsin. They're handed down by, at the federal level. They're implemented at the state level by the Department of Public Instruction under the guidance of Tony Evers. Republicans say this is a case of overreach and that Wisconsin never had a chance to formulate these and that they ought to. And so they actually, in concert with the governor, have crafted a bill that would set up a new system for drawing up standards in Wisconsin. It would be a board of political appointees from the legislature, the governor, and the state superintendent, and they would craft academic standards that really worries state superintendents, as they showed out in huge numbers to oppose this. They say, number one, they think Common Core standards are working and they should be left in place. And number two, they're really freaked out by the idea of political pressures at the state level being applied to what kids learn in school.
And the week ahead, the Senate's going to hear a bill that's going to restrict in-person or early in-person absentee voting?
Yes, and this is a scaled back compared to what they introduced earlier this session, but it's really aimed at Madison and Milwaukee is where you have the most in-person early absentee voting, where a couple weeks before election you can go in and cast your ballot. I mean, you'll see lines at the clerk's office of people doing that. And so what this bill would do would say that hours for in-person early absentee voting would be restricted to between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. during the 2 weeks before an election. I think it also says you can't be open more than 45 hours, so the days when Madison stays open during the weekend would be gone. That and some a bill that would change when lobbyists
We'll have to leave it there, Sean. Thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thank you.